Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
I'm excited about today. First service, we had a phenomenal service, but I always go, you know, the second service is even better than the first service. So I don't know if you're ready, but I want to say get ready, because we are talking, we are teaching, we are preaching on revival. Yeah, this is the month of revival. The whole month of June is the month of revival. So get your notebooks out, get your pens out, get your phones out, whatever you need to get out, because we are going to be giving you some good information about revival. The word revival and the movement of God called revival comes with some negative stuff as well as with some positive stuff. There's an association attached to the concept of revival. Now, I just want to say some commercial advertising right here. We have an amazing lineup in this month, so do not miss out. You have to be here because you don't want to miss out. FOMO, release the spirit of FOMO on every one of you. No, I don't. Cut that off. But we have Pastor Raph in the house, Pastor Raph Solomon next week in the house. So invite your friends, invite your family. We've also got one of our very own, the Right Reverend Chris Willis. He's not a reverend, but he's a great man of God. He is a teacher. He loves to take the word out. And then also we have the BSSM students, the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry students, who finish their whole month, mission month in Australia. They're finishing it here at Pneuma East. So make sure you are in the house. Say to your neighbor, be in the house. Be in the house. Get ready. Also, up on the screen, we do have Revival Conference. If you have not registered for Revival Conference, that is the first week in May. You need to be there. Please join Paulina, join myself, join our children, join our pastors and our team. We're all going to be there. And we want you to be there as well. We want every single one of the Pneuma East family to be there. Why do we want you to be there? Because it's a money-making racket? No, it's because you are going to be equipped. You see, what happens is when you get in under the teaching of these people, like Pastor Haley Braun and Pastor Ben Fitzgerald, something happens on the inside of you. There's a transformation happens. And what we're excited about, Paulina and I, is that then we come back to East, and East is impacted. I'm not just talking about Pneuma East. I'm talking about the community of the East is impacted because we've sat under this teaching and under this fire. So make sure you register. I have to give you a warning. Last year it was sold out. So if you snooze, you lose. Just saying. All right, we're going to pray. Let's pray. Let's start off with prayer, and then we get into revival. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing presence. We thank you that you are here through the Holy Spirit. And we say, revive us, O Lord. Let your presence be so evident in our lives daily, not only on a Sunday, but in our lives daily. We come before you with humble hearts, seeking a deeper understanding of revival. We ask for your Holy Spirit, only your Holy Spirit, to fill us afresh. And Father, illuminate our minds, soften our hearts so that we can receive your truth about revival. Stir within us, Lord, a fervent desire for renewal and transformation. Convict us, Holy Spirit, of our sin and draw us to repentance, igniting our faith to new levels. We ask this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And everybody agreed, said amen. Revival 101 is the title of my message. This whole month is about revival. I don't know if you've noticed, but I am going to spell it out today. Every month so far here at Pneuma East from January has carried a theme. In January was new beginnings, looking at starting afresh. February was all about vision and diving deep. March was people with purpose. You've just heard an amazing testimony about that. People with purpose is not looking on the inside, but being set on the outside for this year. April was all about the prophetic, being a prophetic people. May, last month, was all about prayer, the importance of prayer in our lives 4-hour communities. And then, of course, June revival. Being revived, understanding revival so that we can revive. You and I are called to revive others. We are revived to be revivalists, and we'll talk about being a revivalist a bit later. But I'm pretty excited. It is one of my passions, talking about revival. I am unapologetically a revivalist. I am unapologetically go after revival, because we all need revival, and I myself have been revived. I said this in the first, I say this in the second service. I want you revived. Why? Because I do not want you to miss out on what God has for you. And you will understand revival soon. The scripture that I am pointing to right now is Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. And I'm going to read it to you. So at the back here, you can follow. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. I am here to do what? So that you can be equipped. You are the saints that he is talking about. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. You are to be equipped for the work of ministry and for the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. He has a word for somebody. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, everybody say rather, because this is how we as believers should be. Rather, verse 15, speaking with truth in love. You and I as believers should be people who are not tossed to and fro on the waves, but we should be speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part, here's a good word, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Folks, you and I are called to work properly, to be working properly, because you're a part of the body of Christ. It says there, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are the body. We should be growing, and we should be building the body up itself in love. Revival is the heart of God. Sila. It is the heart of God. Revival is what God wants to do. I said it before and I'm going to say it again in case you miss it. I unapologetically am pursuing revival. You see, Bill Johnson from Bethel Church in California said, when we were at Bethel once, don't analyze a move of God. Be willing to be wrecked by a move of God. It's time that the church stops criticizing a move of God and starts laying down their own agendas and being to be willing to be wrecked by a move of God. I've got to say, that's me, that is my family, that is us, and that should be what the church should be after. I say this to us as a Numa East family, and even our visitor today. Let's be willing to lay down our own agendas and be wrecked by God's agenda. Come on, church, we have to go after God's agenda. It's time. Because the writers of Psalm 85, who are the sons of Korah, wrote this in verses 6 and 7. Revive us again, O God. This tells me right there that God is a God of revival. He has revived before, and they say, revive us again, O God. Again, O God. That means that he revived before. They cried out that he revived them again. And so I want to say to you today, he is the God of revival, and he wants to revive us in the 2024 year. Again, as his people. It says further, I know you will. Give us a fresh start. Give us a fresh start. How many people don't at the beginning of the year say, I have given a fresh start. I can't wait for the 1st of January. I want a fresh start. Then all your people will taste your joy and your gladness. So when we are revived and we are given a fresh start, the scripture says to me that all his people will taste his joy and gladness. Verse 7, it says, pour out even more of your love on us. And then it says, reveal more of your kindness and restore us back to you. That, folks, is revival. Restore us back to you. I pray every morning that God will restore me and my wife and Jay and Edward and Elizabeth, my three children, back to him. I pray every morning that each one of our leaders and pastors and their families are restored back to him. I pray every morning for you as an Yuma East family that you and your families are restored back to him. Why? Because revival is the heart of God, and I unapologetically am a revivalist and am going after revival. Restore us back to you, God, is what I cry out for. He is the God of revival. It is God's heart for revival to take place. It's in God's heart for revival to happen even now. You see, the church has come to conclusions about revival because they study revival on earth. I say, come on, let's stop studying revival on earth and let's get God's heart for revival. Because when we get God's heart for revival, there will be revival. You see, God's heart for revival is for his people to be restored back to him. God's heart is to move his people from glory to glory. In Psalm 85 verse 7, it says his heart is to pour out even more of his love on us. Folks, you're experiencing maybe even just a little drop in the ocean of the love of God that he has for you. But he wants to pour out even more of his love upon you. You see, God's heart is that a supernatural encounter would happen to each individual that calls themselves children of God, that would affect the church, that would affect a city, that would impact a nation, and of course, which will impact the world. Who knows today that this world of ours sucks? Who knows that today this world needs God? And guess where God's going to start? With you and with me. We need to be revived. Many times the church aborts a move of God because it isn't what they have read in the history books. It isn't like it was in the history book. It does not fit into man's performer. Guess what? God is not a cookie cutter God. Hello, I need to say that again. God is not a cookie cutter God. How can you say that, JJ? Because I read Isaiah 43, 19, and it says to me, behold, I am doing a new thing. It does not say to me, I am doing the same thing. It says, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth, it says. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? Will you not give heed to it? Will I not give heed to it? That says to me, hold on, stop your horses, JJ. You need to see that I am doing a new thing and give heed to it. That's not just for JJ. That's for every believer, every person that has said, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. God is busy doing a new thing on this planet, and he wants you and me to take heed of it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, the word says. Folks, I want to say, don't despise small beginnings. Have the mindset, he is doing it, and I want to be part of it. I call you all. I charge you all. He is doing it. He is already doing it. And I call you to come and be part of it. You see, we cannot want to transform the community if our own lives are not transformed. God wants to transform us first before he wants to send us into a community to change the community. Amen. You're all okay? Good. Because we're only started. Do you know that Yuma East is experiencing revival? What? Yes, it is experiencing revival. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and you check in your heart if that is you. Is anyone in this room feel like that they have had a fresh start this year? Does anybody in this room feel like that they've experienced more of God's joy and gladness? Is there anybody in this room or hearing this message that has encountered more of His love on you? Has anybody in this room had a revelation of more of His kindness and His goodness? Has anyone in this room been restored back to God? And has anyone in this room had a revelation of a new and a fresh revelation of who Jesus is? Is there anybody said yes to any of those questions? Raise your hand. Just look around at how many people have had their hands raised. Folks, that is revival. That is what God wants. That is God's heart. That is exactly where God has taken His church. You have a look at our worship through the music and song. By the way, worship is not just music and song, but I want to just highlight the music and song that happened here on this stage today. It is sweet. It is tender. It is pure. It is authentic. It hosts the presence of God. Amen. Lives are touched and changed where God is hosted. Our worship through our serving and our tithing is growing. Our kids' church across the way, there's over 100 kids on a weekend that they are exploding. They are encountering God. They are loving. They are prophesying. They are changing. It's amazing what is happening in our kids' church. Guess what? There is revival happening in our kids' church. Our youth are having God encounters on a Friday. Our youth are learning about identity, about having powerful baptisms. So many youth were baptized just a couple of days ago. This Friday, they had Roma, our own prophet, at youth, and she was teaching them to hear God's voice accurately. She says, even on her Facebook page and on her Instagram, she says, they were so accurate, I was in awe. 37 of our youth are sitting there on a Friday night learning how to hear the voice of God. I want to tell you, that is revival, people. They could be somewhere else playing games or being on their TV or on the game, on whatever, PlayStation, computers, phones, but they weren't. They were in the upper room at Joseph Street, and they were encountering God, and they were hearing God's voice accurately. That is revival. Our young adults are evolving. They are growing. Our community outreach, Belinda was hearing this the other day. We have access to this school. Up until January, we had no access. From January, they flung the doors open. They're inviting us in. We've got breakfast programs happening. She had a meeting with the principal this week that's gone by. That is revival, people. Our prayer meetings. When we came here, when I arrived in August last year, there were 6 people attending. Majority of them were staff at our prayer meetings on a Tuesday. There's close to 25 on a Tuesday now. Now that is revival as well. When people start praying, when people start repenting, when people start coming to the face of God and praying together, guess what? God hears and He moves. Do you realize, church, do you realize that the revival we are experiencing right now is the greatest revival in history, and you are part of it? I'm not just talking about New Me East. You've just got to look at social media. In 2023, Osbury Revival was attended by approximately 15,000 people per day. At the universities in the USA, thousands are gathering outside and worshiping spontaneously. At the University of Georgia, hundreds have been baptized. At the Florida State University, which is one of the biggest party schools in the nation, guess what? 4,500 people have given their lives to Christ. This is revival. Amsterdam, the red light district, is now being used. There's places that were once the red light district, that were brothels, that are now being used as places of worship for our God. In February, the evangelist Franklin Graham conducted a 10-city God Loves You tour along the southern frontier of Texas. They were actually warned, don't go there, it's like a war zone. But they went there and around 5,000 people gave their lives to Christ. In South Africa, the great South Africa, people are on their knees in the dirt, in the red dirt. They've had this men camp, Mighty Men's Conference, that was started in 2004 with 240 people. The last one, there was over 300,000 men and boys at this men's camp, in the red dirt, on their knees, crying out to God. Folks, that is revival.
Europe, hundreds, thousands of flocking to churches and meetings. Just last month, I'm talking about May 2024, 13,000 teens and young adults from all over Germany came together for Christable. It is a conference organized by a non-denominational network with historical roots in Jesus movement. 1,000 flocking to churches. 13,000 teens and young adults coming together for this conference in Germany. That is revival, and so we can go on. You are part of the greatest revival that is happening. Here in Australia, in September, we have Awakening Australia, 26th to 29th September in Brisbane Showgrounds. Apparently, I Googled it, they have a 25,000 capacity, seating capacity. Guess what? People are flocking from all over Australia. They are going to be there on that day. Jeremy Riddle is going to be there. Ben Fitzgerald and his team are leading it. Our folk are going. People from overseas are coming to be part of it. Why? Because we believe that this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, and it's about time that the revival fires are fired up and sent out. And I believe and I prophesy that this is going to be the beginning of the flames that are going to be ignited, that are going to go across Australia. Come on. The church is about to come alive like you have never seen it. We are in the greatest revival, you and I. And you know what? We need to know that, embrace that, and be part of it. Amen. Let's give God praise for all of that. Thank you, Jesus. You see, it's not about starting revival. It's about sustaining revival. Revival is here. And you and I play a role. We got the commissioning in Matthew 28, 18. And I'm going to read it to you out of the message. Because it says this: Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. He gave you a charge. And the charge was, God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go and train everyone you meet far and near. Hello. Stop. Stop the watch. Go and train everyone you meet. Not no, you meet far and near in this way of life, marking them by baptism in threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them to practice of all I have commanded you. First of all, you have to go and train, get out there and train everyone you meet in this way of life, and then you instruct them in the practice. Guess what? That means you need to be revived so that you can revive others, because the God of revival, in the last verse it says, and I'll be with you as you do this day after day, right up to the end of the age. So the God of revival gives himself a promise. He gives you a promise that he will be with you day after day after day, right up until the end of the age. Guess what? You call for revival. Guess what? You are meant to be a revivalist. What is a revivalist? It's one who revives others. That's a revivalist. So is this biblical? Yes, it's biblical. You want to go there? Yeah, some of you do. Biblical foundation of revival. The Old Testament, the revival under King Josiah. You can write these down and go and read them just for time. 2 Kings, chapters 22, 23, and 2 Chronicles, chapters 34 to 35. King Josiah, he discovers the book of the law in the temple. So what does he do? He initiates a national reform. He tears down the idols. He restores the temple. And he renews the covenant with the Lord. He leads the nation back to God. That's revival. The whole nation. Lord, do that in Australia. Do that in Australia. Revival, another one, in Old Testament, Nehemiah's time. In Nehemiah 8, chapters 8 to chapter 10, go and read it. It's brilliant. It's a really good read. After the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls, Ezra gets the law of God and he reads it to the people. As he's reading the law of God, there's this deep conviction and repentance. Hello. Right there, that is the characteristic of revival. Deep repentance, conviction, and repentance. I want to read chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. The people of Israel confess their sins. Now on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with earth on their heads. That would have been a picture. Verse 3, and they stood up in the place. Verse 2. And the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. When last have you confessed your sin and the iniquities of your fathers? And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the law of the Lord, their God, for a quarter of a day. And for another quarter of that day, they made confession and worshiped the Lord their God. For a quarter of the day. Imagine you were locked in this place for a quarter of a day, worshiping God and reading and making confessions. That's what they did. The people, what did they do? They renewed the covenant with God. That is revival. And they committed to following His commandments. New Testament. That's some New Testament. Pentecost. We just shared that the other day. And we had a great Pentecost service here. Acts 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The birth of the church happened. Thousands were converted. Thousands were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, demonstrating the transformative power of revival. Then in 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 to 7, and this is really important. Here, Paul has a sidekick. His name is Timothy. And he says to Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God within you. Fan into flame. Hello, that's a word for all of us right now. It's time that the church starts fanning into flame the gift that God has given you. You know what? You can have the gift, but if you're sitting with your hands under your bum, guess what? Nothing's going to happen. It's time to take these hands out and start fanning the flame so that those gifts can be transformation within the lives of others. Am I speaking to somebody here? You see, this emphasizes personal revival through the rekindling of spiritual gifts. Each one of you have got spiritual gifts. How do I know that? Because you have Holy Spirit. And guess who Holy Spirit is? He is the giver of gifts. Not me. No, you too. The day you went, Holy Spirit, come, Jesus, come and live in my heart. The day you gave your life to Jesus, that's when you got Holy Spirit. And He is the gift, the giver of the gifts. You've got gifts. Guess what? This body needs your gifts. This body needs your gifts, and the body needs the gifts. Because we all work together. Are we okay? So let's talk about what is revival not. What is revival not? Revival is not a scheduled event. Revival is not something that can be planned or scheduled. While events labeled as revival meetings can be part of revival, the true essence of revival is spontaneous and occurs organically. It's driven by a genuine move of the Spirit. Another point, what is revival not? It's not a mere emotional experience. It's not about heightened emotions or euphoric gatherings. While emotions can be a response because of revival, but it's not that we get together and it's a series of feel-good meetings. You see, true revival results in lasting transformation and genuine repentance. What is revival not? It's not a human-made phenomenon. Revival is not something that can be manufactured by human effort or clever programming. It is a true revival is the sovereign work of God. Revival is not a one-time event. Revival is not a single event. Spiritual revival is a continuous process. That is how come we are to become more and more Christ-like. It is a spiritual process. It's a continuous process. True revival has long-lasting effects that go beyond the initial burst of enthusiasm, leading to sustained spiritual growth. Revival is not a substitute for personal faith. You can't just go visiting from one revival meeting to another revival meeting to another revival meeting. It's not a replacement for personal faith and daily spiritual practices. It is not a shortcut either. Revival should complement and invigorate your personal faith. Revival should complement and invigorate your spiritual disciplines. Lastly, it is not a guarantee of perfection. Revival is not a promise of perfect behavior or a flawless community. Hello, you are working with people. I am working with people. It is a process of growth and renewal, a process of growth and renewal. That's why we need to have grace. Everybody say grace. We need to have grace for one another. We need to have grace with one another, because with revival comes struggles. With revival comes setbacks. You see, true revival involves an ongoing repentance. It involves an ongoing learning. It involves an ongoing improvement. So what is revival? Revival comes from the word revive. The term revive generally means to bring back to life. The term revive generally means to bring back to consciousness or to bring back to a state of activity. Revival comes from the word revive or bring back from the dead. Various definitions of revival from different scholars and different teachers, different theologians are as follows. J.I. Packer said, revival is God's quickening visitation of his people, touching their hearts and deepening his work of grace in their lives. Stephen Alford said, revival is the sovereign act of God in which he restores his own backsliding people. That's the church. His own backsliding people to repentance, faith, and obedience. You see, revival is not about the unbeliever who's out there. Revival is about the church. The revival is about the believers, the believers. J. Edwin Orr said, revival is times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. That's what we had today. We had refreshing in this place today. First service, we had refreshing as well. That is revival. Duncan Campbell, he says, revival is a community saturated with God. And this is the reason why we do not rush through things. This is the reason why we take time and we linger longer. This is the reason why in worship we go after his presence, because his presence is our priority. You see, if we want to be saturated with God, we have to linger in his presence a little longer. If it's raining outside and you run from here to there, you will not be saturated. But let me tell you, if it's raining outside and you linger a little longer and you stroll across to your point, to point B, you will be saturated. And that is the same kind of picture that we want for you to have as we stand here and have worship, is that as we linger, so we are saturated with his presence. Good? Amen? Characteristics of authentic revival. So we're looking at what is revival. Here's some characteristics. Number one, it is a sovereign move of God. It's like there's a divine intervention. Authentic revival is a divine intervention. It is God that initiates and drives the revival. Who is driving the revival across the globe? God. Who convicts those students in those universities of living the wrong life? Only God. Who convicted our youth so that they could go and get baptized? God. Only God. God is the one who initiates and drives revival. There's a deep conviction and repentance. Number two, deep conviction and repentance. A hallmark of authentic revival is a profound sense of conviction of sin and a genuine repentance. Genuine repentance. We can say, oh, I'm sorry, God. But let me tell you something. When God comes upon you and the Holy Spirit is upon you and you are convicted, it's not, oh, I'm sorry, God. It is snotting down the front. It is howling because of his presence that's on you. There's a conviction that comes upon you. Third point, for authentic revival, there's a renewal of spiritual practices. Authentic revival leads to renewed commitment to spiritual disciplines, such as prayer and fasting and reading the Word of God and worship. Revive us, Lord. Revive the church, that we can start studying your Word. Revive the church so that we can start communing with you. Why do you think we focused on prayer last month?
Because we're in the middle of revival. We need to be praying. Not me. I pray. You know I pray. My family knows I pray. I wake them up in the morning with my linger longer music in the dead of the morning when there's no other sound. But you know what? I couldn't care. Because I'm creating a culture in my family that'll go from generation to generation to generation where my family know I prayed and therefore they will pray. They know where to turn to. They know where to go. Prayer is important. Authentic revival comes and it brings about a renewal of spiritual practices. Fourth thing, it brings about a transformation of lives. Authentic revival brings about significant and lasting changes in individuals' lives. This transformation is evident in improved moral behavior, compassion towards others, and a stronger sense of purpose and mission. It's funny that when there's true revival, we love one another more. Uh-oh, let's check our hearts. Are we loving or are we gossiping? Come on, let's get into the authentic revival. Communities are impacted. Number five, beyond individual transformation, authentic revival has a noticeable impact on the wider community. You see, communities that experience revival see a reduction in social failings and an increase in positive communal activities. Countries, listen, this is facts. You can go and find this on YouTube. Countries with authentic revival, where authentic revival break out, crime diminishes, policemen don't have jobs, jails are emptied, brothels and pubs become buildings where there is true worship to the one and only living God. This is factual. Supernatural growth in vegetables is seen, and I'm not kidding you. El Malonga in Guatemala, they had revival that produced gigantic vegetables in abundance. The revival there produced 1,000% increase in productivity. It is documented they were taking 4 trucks per month of vegetables to the different places that they distribute their produce. And it increased to 40 loads per week. From 4 truckloads per month to 40 truckloads per week. Beetroots were weighing 4.5 pounds. For us, that's like 2.04 kilograms. Beetroots. I can do a couple of juices out of one. I don't have to buy 6 to do one juice. Carrots were the size of a man's forearm. I'll show you photos next time I'm on the pulpit. The size of the forearm of a man. Come on. That's what happens when the country is in revival. I say, bring it on, Lord Jesus. I say, may Australia experience be the great south land of the Holy Spirit. I say, may we experience this kind of revival within us. Number six, unity and reconciliation. Revival fosters unity amongst believers, breaking down barriers and divisions such as race, denomination, socioeconomic status, etc., etc. Number seven, there's an increased evangelistic zeal. You see, when there is revival, people just are heightened. There's an urgency to share their faith with everybody and anybody. The day you gave your life to Jesus, the very first day, do you remember, man, anything that moved, even if it was the trees, you were prophesying to them, you were telling them about your faith, the ants on the ground, you were telling them about the faith, your nana, your pops, your mom, your dad, there was a fervency on the inside. What happened? The fire died out. What fire? The fire of revival that has to be restored so that there is there's this evangelistic zeal that comes back to the body of Christ. Number eight, manifestations of spiritual gifts. Authentic revival, underlined, maybe. Take notes, maybe accompanied by the manifestation of spiritual gifts such as healing and prophecy and supernatural phenomena. Why do I use the word maybe? Because the church thinks that when that happens, it is revival. I'm saying to you that is a myth. It's not just healing and prophecy and all those kind of things that is revival. That happens in revival.
But there's many other things that is revival. And that's what I'm trying to broaden where we are, broaden our knowledge right at this point in time. You see, the manifestations of the gifts is not the only characteristic of authentic revival. You need to understand that. If somebody falls down, great, they're falling down. But you know what I say? It's not about you falling down. It's not about the shaking. It's not about, I'm going to teach on all of that, show you biblical places where all of that is. It's not about that. It's when you get up out of that. Has your life changed? Has your life been transformed? Is the fruit on your life different? Because you cannot go down under the power of God and come up the same. You cannot. You cannot. Number nine, authentic revival has enduring effects. It's sustained over time. You see, the changes brought about revival, exactly what I was just saying, are long-lasting. It's influence in individuals and communities for extended periods of time. That place in Guatemala, they are still experiencing. Their land went from barren to very fruitful, as I've just told you. And they are still experiencing it to this day. God is good. Lastly, authentic revival aligns us with Scripture. You see, authentic revival aligns us with the teachings and the principles found in the Word. Aligns us. We don't want to go left. We don't want to go right. We are so in awe of the Almighty God that we just want to be so obedient and stay in line with what He is guiding us on, stay in line, in alignment with where He is going. Amen. Oh, thanks, Tim. That's good timing. Good cue there. So I conclude. I bring us to the end. Has this helped anybody? You've got it. God is the God of revival. If there's one thing you walk away with today, God is the God of revival. Secondly, revival is here. You and I are in the midst of the greatest revival on this planet. Thirdly, revival is happening right here in front of your eyes, New Me East. Right here. You don't have to go far. You don't have to go to America. Just come together on a Sunday. Come together at life groups. It's happening right. Go to youth. You're not allowed to go to youth. Youth, go to youth. Young adults, go to youth. Well, you can go to youth. You just need a working with children's check. Anyway, there's so much red tape. If you've done the red tape, come to youth. If not, but you need to know it's happening here. You've heard what revival is not. So stop looking. Stop being critical. Speak revival away, because you can't speak a revival away. If God is the God of revival and He is here, His revival is going to happen. I'm just calling us. Let us be in alignment with His word. Let's be in alignment with authentic revival. But here's a disclaimer. That's why He's coming to play music. Here's a disclaimer. Uh-oh, here it comes. I have to say this. These are notes. These are notes that a human being put together. That human being is J.J. Mayer. If you don't know who he is, that's me. I put these notes together. I put these notes together from readings and experience that I have had. I personally have had. I want you revived because I've been revived. I need you revived because I don't want you to miss out. But you know what? These that I've shared with you are not the supernatural divine blueprints from heaven. In other words, I may get them wrong. I may get them wrong. Because above me, there is God. And God is God. And God could totally take all of these notes, flush them down the toilet, because He says, I'm doing a new thing. He says, I'm doing a new thing. So hold on to these things lightly. They're not the only truth. Hold on to them very lightly, because you may be disappointed. Oh, JJ said. Oh, no, we can't do that. Tim, you can't do that. JJ said. Oh, you can't do that. No. What is God saying? What is God saying? This is my disclaimer. All I want us to do as a family is I want us to bring the walls down. Let your walls come down. Allow God the Father to be God in your life. Allow God the Father to revive you and to revive me. To what? To all He wants us to be. You see, the mind will never lead you into revival. The mind will never lead you into revival. It is the surrendered heart, the heart that you have surrendered to God, that will take you from where you are to where you need to go. But the move of God is something that I want each one of us to hunger for. The revival that is happening is what I want each one of us to hunger for. Why? Because that's what God is hungering for. God, let break my heart for what breaks yours. What breaks His heart is He wants revival to happen in your life. That's what breaks His heart. And that's what breaks my heart. And that's what breaks every minister's heart. It's time, church. It's time.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.